Commonwealth Transportation Board Workshop, June 19th, 2002.
Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome, we have Libby Welch has joined us, and Gary Walker since this morning. We had I was here for part of it, and I understand all of it was just outstanding presentation on the foundation of really how we get to where we are in the development of the six-year plan. Let me ask, Catherine, do we need any explanation about these blank envelopes?
Put money in them.
Put money in them, that's what it means.
Okay, all right. Next item on the agenda this afternoon for the workshop, first two items are the adoption of budgets for the two departments of Rail and Public Transportation and VDOT. So first, I am going to call on John Faneuil, the Director of Fiscal and Information Technology for DRPT.
Mr. Chairman, board members, I'm here to give you an overview of the DRPT annual budget and the program for fiscal year 2002 and
2003. All right, glad to have you.
The topics for today's discussion is first the mission of DRPT, major initiatives that we're working on for this year and ongoing into the future. Also, we'll look at the fiscal year 2003 budget and look at where the money comes from, where it goes. Also look at the number of funded projects, and we'll look at the agency division budget summaries. Then we'll take a look at fiscal year 02 to look at where we are now, how fiscal year 02 worked out on the budgets and expenditures as of the end of May. And then we'll look at the status of the VTA 2000, we'll look at the projects, and we'll also look at the budget and expenditures through the end of May. And at the end, we'll wrap up with some of the major challenges to the agency and to DRPT and public transportation. The mission of DRPT. You may not be aware, but presently we're working with the VCU Center of Public Policy, and I'm redefining or refining, if you will, the mission of DRPT and taking the opportunity to look at what we should be doing and what benefits we should be providing to the Commonwealth. The mission that we came up with all levels of staff, all of the divisions of the organization, is that the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation exists to improve mobility and expand transportation choices within the Commonwealth. By fulfilling this mission, DRPT will help ensure a high quality of life continues to exist for citizens and visitors to the Commonwealth by improving air quality, supporting livable communities, and promoting economic growth and vitality. The major initiatives for the agency for 2003 and looking forward, as you're aware, the Dulles Corridor Rail Project is very high on the list. Also, the High Speed Rail Initiative will be expanding new service in three rural areas. Also, there's a number of facility expansion projects that are taking place. And we're also working at automating the business transaction with our business partners, local governments, transit facilities, to try to use technology in the most efficient way to implement the business of our organization. Now looking at fiscal year 2003, where does the DRPT funding come from? You should have a copy of the annual budget at your table, and basically we're looking at summary of that same information. We're just looking at it in graphical form to try to simplify what is happening. The Transportation Trust Fund is 55% of the funding. 25% is transfers from other agencies. We're looking at the VTA allocations, funds we received from the Department of Social Services, DMV safety grants. Also, we have local revenues that match our 5310 program, which is an elderly and disabled grant that we have from the Federal Transit Administration. We also have bond proceeds that are allocated from the Northern Virginia District for this year, district program. The ground transportation planning system, which is basically the rail division, the public transportation division, and the administrative divisions, which consists of the director's office, well, actually the director's office and the fiscal and IT division, are funded with HMO funds, which make up 2% of the budget. The reason I waited to the federal revenue for last is because this has kind of been an issue in how our budget is illustrated. 15% of the revenues, as illustrated in the budget, come from 15%. Federal revenue represents 15% of the funding, as illustrated in the budget. However, if you look on page in the annual budget, on page one, when you see from federal revenue, the federal funds that directly come to our agency are the FTA funds, the STP, the 6% STP, and the minimum guarantee funds, and in this case CMAQ, which will be allocated later in a regional STP program, which is the Surface Transportation Program Regional. The majority of those funds are actually flexed to FTA, and then the funding goes directly to the transit organization. So DRPT doesn't actually receive those funds. Actually, about 25 to 30% of that allocation actually comes to the Department of Rail and Public Transportation. And for example, of our federal expenditure, of our agency expenditures, only about 8%, or a little over 8%, is federally funded. But I just wanted to make that point clear, because it seems to be an issue of contention in a number of in getting projects and people understanding where the budget is and who has the money. Now we look at where it goes. 46% of the funding goes to the operating assistance for mass transit organizations or properties. 43% capital goes to capital. 6% goes to rail capital assistance. A lot of that is the VTA funding and the rail preservation program. Then we have special programs which represent 2% of the funding, which is where we have more technical assistance, experimental program, demonstration projects, and things of that such. We also have mass transit federal regulatory programs, which make up 1% of where the funding goes, which is basically planning funds and an annual payment to the Washington Metropolitan Transportation Area Commission. The agency division budget, which again are made up of 3 divisions, and the director's office and indirect costs make up 2% of the budget and where the money goes. The number of projects funded for fiscal year 03, 27% of the projects, well, that's maybe not the best way to look at it, is 50% of the pie of the number of projects, 27% is going to operating assistance, which consists of 56 projects. Then we have 78 going to capital, 52 projects that are being are part of the special programs. There you have ride share and other demonstration type activities. 11 of the projects are going toward planning, and then 13 is going toward the rail projects for the next fiscal year. So right now, for fiscal year 2003, there are 210 projects, and that's the total number of projects that are allocated from the 203 budget. The agency division summary. The budgets, when we talk agency division, we're talking of the 3 divisions, rail, public transportation, fiscal and IT, and the director's office. The total budget is almost $3.5 million. 71% of that is personnel services, salaries. We also, in that number, is funded two P14 positions, part-time positions, and an intern, and then the remaining is non-personal services, covers rents, contractual services, IT consulting, and things of that sort. Now we'll look at fiscal year 02. Presently, again, for the agency division summary, the budget is approximately the same as last year, as we're recommending for 03. We have spent 85% of our budget year to date. A lot of the, if we straight line that, it would be about 92% would have been expended. There, most of that difference, well, the majority is simply we have had position vacancies throughout the year. We had a deputy position for about half of the year, so there's personnel savings there that represent that difference. For mass transit assistance, there's $196 million. 84% has been expended. The difference there, we expend about $15 million a month. At the point now, we'll still be some balance available in the program, and most of that is basically due to the some of the VTA projects where we have budgeted a certain amount, but we didn't expend to the level we had anticipated. Rail assistance, which consists of VTA projects and the rail preservation program, we've only expended 37% year to date, and that is basically due to some of the high-speed rail projects that were budgeted, and issued a GEC contract that we haven't expended as quickly as we anticipated, and at this point we're at 37% for this fiscal year.
Question?
Yes.
I'm sorry, you said you just did a what kind of contract?
Well, a general engineering consulting contract that's helping with the some of the engineering and planning for the high-speed rail projects.
Okay. Is that an over? I probably should remember it from wherever, whenever it was. When you say high speed rail, I'm trying to understand the differences of the different projects in the different parts of the state, and also the different how the different projects relate to each other.
The only project high speed rail that is funded right now is the Washington Richmond corridor. That's the only one that has any funding, and they're basically six projects that we have reached agreement with CSX to do in the area between Richmond and D.C. And then there's one project in the Richmond area, the Main Street Station, that's part of that. And those are the projects that are funded under VTA. And that's the only one. The other project, it's not high-speed rail, is the Bristol project, or what's called the Trans-Dominion Express,
right. Okay.
Which is not high-speed rail. It's regular rail service, intercity rail service.
And the status of that Washington to Richmond corridor in terms of where we are, if you look at the three phases that we have in the six-year plan, you've got preliminary engineering, right-of-way acquisition, construction. Where is that?
Okay, there's $60 million allocated for the project, and that's all for construction projects. We're in the design construction phase. We do things a little bit differently from the way VDOT is doing them. Since these projects are done on CSX's property, they're doing a design build process. So we're paying them to build the projects. So that money is all for construction, design and construction of the projects. And that's the phase that we're in. There's no right-of-way acquisition in any of these.
So the $60 million is for actual upgrades to existing rail?
Yes.
Right now?
It's all for construction projects, or design and construction of projects. There's no other projects listed in there.
Is there any other money when you look at, of course, I know this is an annual budget, and you all don't do, well, when you look at the Washington to Richmond corridor, that I understand what you're talking about, the upgrades to the existing rail now, but in terms of a location for that high-speed rail that will be that Washington to Richmond connection, mm-hmm. and going on south.
There's two other pieces to the high-speed rail project. One is the connection down to Hampton Roads, and another one is a project that would go to Charlotte, North Carolina. So those are all part of a high-speed rail system that's been proposed, which we've made a presentation to the board about several times.
Okay.
And y'all adopted the environmental impact statement, the Tier 1 impact statement for the Washington to Charlotte project earlier in the year, December, or in January, excuse me, or February. So that's a project. We only allocate money for projects that we have funding for. We don't project out the total cost of all these things because they're not funded. So they're not even the feasibility stage in the sense that there's no funding for them.
So there is no funding going to preliminary engineering?
We don't do things exactly the same way that VDOT does it. So we don't do preliminary engineering, design, construction on these kinds of projects. Most of them are design build contracts for the railroad, just making modifications to their railroad. So it's done very differently. The preliminary engineering, if you want to call it that, was already done when we did our master plan for the project. We identified all of the projects and know what has to be done, and we did enough engineering to know that it could be done within the parameters that we're talking about, the right-of-way or whatever. But we don't go through a preliminary engineering phase, a design phase with separate contracts and construction phase. It's a different way of doing business.
Yeah, the problem I'm having is I've gotten some material that's been sent out in regard to that project that has enumerated some concerns about location, where it's going. Like, for instance, in Hampton Roads, are we going to use the third crossing, or are we not going to use the third crossing?
That's all that is a study at the present time. It's not even a project. The Hampton Roads project that we did was using the 64 corridor, and that's already gone through the environmental impact statement. It's part of the I-64 upgrades. So that was our high-speed rail project. The legislature came and asked us to look at the what's called the southern route, going through Petersburg using the 460 corridor, mm-hmm. and they asked us to do a feasibility of doing that. We've never really studied that as a route in terms of the same way we've studied the Washington Richmond corridor, and we completed that study very recently to look at the feasibility of doing that, and all it concluded was that yes, it was feasible. And it would cost a lot of money to do that. But there's no decision that we're going to go that route. The area is very concerned because they like, some people want the route to be north of the James, some people want it to be south of the James. And it's not really a debate at the state level. It's more a debate at the local level. Our route that we had chosen was to go the I-64 corridor and relying on the third crossing, going through the third crossing to connect to the Norfolk area. This other route was just brought up by the region, and we studied it because the legislature directed us to do that. But there's been no choice of that as a route or any decision to do anything with that. Now, as part of the 460 corridor study, there's going to be some further look at that particular routing for a rail line. Right now we're looking at the existing Norfolk Southern line. The 460 upgrade study, which is the highway study, will look at including a rail design as part of that 460 corridor. But there's been no decisions about any of that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of debates going on, but it's not a debate at the state level, it's really at the regional level.
So in terms of a project that we could kind of get our hands around for high-speed rail, basically you're talking about the Washington to Richmond corridor.
That's it.
What kind of money are we talking about?
The total project was estimated at $380 million. That's the total project cost. Of that, $60 million has been allocated through VTA 2000. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing, it's a very incremental process. We don't have to spend the full $370 million to get benefit by having high-speed rail. What we're doing is targeting projects that will benefit the Virginia Railway Express, which is a commuter rail line, in the short term. There are projects that are needed for high-speed rail in the future, but by targeting those projects first, we get benefit by improving the running time and the reliability of the Virginia Railway Express with those early projects. And so that's what the $60 million is going for. So we're getting we're getting current benefit for current dollars spent, but the total project is 370, and there's no identified source of funds to pay. I mean, 380 million. There's no identified source of funds to pay for the other 320 million. It hasn't been funded yet.
Okay. Thank you.
When do you think that will be funded?
There's no telling. There's no dedicated source of funds given the current state of the budget. Obviously, we've been cutting projects rather than adding projects. I don't see any foreseeable source of funding coming forward to pay for that. But again, like I said, these projects have current utility, whether we complete the project or not. They will all provide valuable service now, even though high-speed rail still might be years in the future.
Will it cost us a lot of money if it's 10 or 15 years down the road?
Well, you have the effect of inflation.
Will this study work 15 years down the road?
Oh, absolutely. The improvements we're making are all capacity improvements and reliability improvements. So from that perspective, they'll be useful no matter when the project is implemented.
Kind of like the Interstate 81 design that we have that's going to be sitting on the shelf for a while.
Yeah.
It just seems like it.
Regarding the VTA 2000, in front of you a list of the projects that were a part of the VTA 2000. And presently, of that total, we've expended 23% of the project, of the funds that have been allocated in the VTA 2000. At this point, I didn't know if you had any questions.
Any questions? Let me go back and find the page. Page 6, well, 46 on our pie chart, the 46%, we say it's operating assistance. When we put that out there, how do we measure the return or the participation? Do we do that? Leo, do we do that in any way?
We don't really measure it. This is all determined by state law, and it's a formula-driven process. The amount of money we distribute comes out of the trust fund, and it says that of the money we receive from the trust fund, 72.5% will go towards operating assistance. And then how that's distributed is also set by formula. There are certain expenses that are eligible, and we can, we will reimburse the transit properties for those expenses up to the amount of money that we have available. So we take the total amount of expenses and distribute them over all the properties based on the percentage of their expenses as a percent of the whole. So it's very formula driven. We don't measure it in terms of whether it's productive to do that or not. If y'all remember, several years ago, we went through a whole series of evaluations of this formula and looked at whether or not there should be some other method for distributing state funds other than just a rigid formula. And we looked at performance-based systems and we looked at a whole series of things. Basically, we concluded that there wasn't any clear, better way of doing it other than distributing on the basis that we're doing now. But what we had recommended was we create an incentive fund, a $5 million incentive fund, that we would use to reward people who had excellent efficiency and effectiveness of service and who were doing a very good job of controlling their costs and providing good service. Unfortunately, that $5 million incentive fund got taken away as part of
transit.
I guess it was part of VTA 2000.
Yeah,
it got rolled into the priority transportation fund. So.
Yeah,
given the economy and whatnot, I mean, and again, you know, if you go, you say you go back a few years where you did the productivity. I wonder, given the economy, would that productivity you think be up in the areas now, down or?
Efficiency, for the most part, is up because transit ridership has been rising fairly steadily over the last few years. Plus, the state only contributes about 21% of the operating costs of transit. The rest of it comes from the federal government and state, in the cities. And the cities put the majority of the money in. The cities put about,
Are you finding them holding constant now in the economy, or?
They have, so far, most of the areas are continuing to fund transit at the levels they have in the past. Obviously, they're fiscally stressed like the state is also. But they have funded it because it is, transit ridership has been going up over the last few years. So it's been holding fairly steady. If you look across the state, user fees, if you want to call it that, or the fare box revenue, is the majority of support for all the transit systems. And the cities in the state put up about 20%, a little more than 20% each. And the rest comes from the federal government.
Leo, let me make sure I understand something. Last year, there was $60 million in the 60 plan from BTA money for DRPT. Is that about the right figure? $60 million?
According to this?
Well, the total of the project is $242 million, but the amount that we were going to spend last year?
I think it was allocated at 59.
I beg your pardon?
I believe it was allocated at $59 million.
Okay. And this year, in the plan that we'll adopt, what was it, like $10
million? Actually, 34.
Of VTA?
Of VTA. That's correct.
All right. Now, this is embarrassed to ask this question, I guess. Where along the way in the development of the six-year plan did we come up with $34 million for tomorrow for DRPT VTA-related projects as opposed to VDOT projects? I mean, is this as much as you can do? Or?
It started with, we took all of the projects here that are listed as VTA 2000 projects, and we looked at when the expenditures would likely take place. For instance, the $75 million for the Dulles project, as an example. We're only spending a portion of that to do the preliminary engineering and the NEPA study. So the actual construction of the Dulles project will not take place until that process is approved. So this might be 3 years away in terms of expenditure. So we did a cash flow based on year of expenditure for each one of these projects. For instance, the Metro Rail parking expansion, you just did the ribbon cutting of that very recently. One of those projects. So we looked at the years in which each one of these are going to be expended.
All right. So were you able, because of your timelines, were you able to take advantage as much as you can take advantage of the VTA?
Yes, we spent as much as we could.
Unlike the VDOT. Okay,
that kind of goes back to the rail.
Most of these projects are further out in time.
Because there really has been no analysis or no collaboration or no division of available money with DRPT as opposed to VDOT of VTA money. It just,
right.
it's worked itself out.
We gave the fiscal people a list of what we thought the cash flow needs were, and they work with us to try to accommodate that.
Question?
Yes.
That's not
the
case.
Yeah, Randy.
Are these in the VTA originally, rail projects, is this the full list that was created in 2000? Has anything been cut?
No,
this was the original list, and this was everything that was included in there.
So no VTA projects have been cut from DRPT?
No.
You mean funding?
Funding, I understand funding. We're not funding $242 million right now. Understand.
Yeah. Well, it's all in the statute. I mean, the statute hadn't been amended.
Okay.
For DRPT or the VDOT related projects. May need to.
Well, they were a month ago. There were VTA projects not in the six-year plan.
But not in the statute. Which is why it's important what Barbarisa was saying this morning, the relationship between the two-year budget that the General Assembly adopted this year overrides the statutory provisions in the VTA. And each cycle that's going to happen is going to have to occur unless the statute itself and the Virginia Code is changed. Otherwise, we're in violation of the law.
Let me ask. Maybe you can help. The $34 million for VTA transfers, is that a specific project?
Serious.
Excuse me, Mr. Byrd. Basically, we're looking at the number of projects we have for VTA, and then we're making estimates on how much we will expend during that fiscal year on those related projects. And then we are providing that information, you know, to VDOT and coordinating with them from a budgetary perspective.
The projects could total $150 million, $200 million. Let's go back to a VDOT scenario. Is if you were going to put a project out there that's $150 million, it might be phased out over 6 years or 10 years, and you fill for a little money. So I guess what I'm trying to get to is this, the $34 million is kind of like seed money, preliminary entry. Is that a good term to use? Or
in some cases,
it's not really a project. It's money to cash flow.
Well, I mean, in some cases, example, the CSX work, it could actually go towards work.
If you look at the projects here, I'll give you an example. Eastern Shore Railroad, that's a VTA project.
Right.
That money was all expended.
It's what, Leo?
It was all expended.
Okay.
It was to retire bonds, and that money was all expended, you know, the first year. The high-speed rail cap across Northern Virginia, that only a small portion of that has been expended based on work we're doing with CSX. The high-speed rail capital cost Fredericksburg, only a very small portion of that has been expended. Metro rail parking expansion, I don't remember the dollar amount, but
Excuse me?
That's been expended.
That's correct. You may, members, would you look at page 439 on the actual six-year plan? It illustrates exactly what Leo was just explaining.
But those projects are all constructed. So they're the secretary actually went to the groundbreaking, the ribbon cutting for one of them just pretty recently. So those projects are completed and constructed.
Again, it's page 439 in the six-year plan. You can actually see the projects we illustrated earlier, and you'll see what funds have been used and what the allocation is for fiscal year 2003, as well as out.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Stay.
Okay. Actually, there is one more slide. And that is the major challenges for the agency, specifically funding and staffing for the Dulles Corridor Rail Project. It's over $3 billion project, and right now we have a very limited staff working on it. Also, agency staff for long-term planning for rural properties and to participate in the planning process, and also with property expansions that are taking place. And also, being that the agency is now not physically in the VDOT building, and using VDOT business infrastructure, the need for permanent staffing for IT and also logistical support functions are things that the agency sees as issues to continue to be effective and to meet the other initiatives and other goals of the agency. Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Kenny.
I'd just like to say one thing. If things go well tomorrow, sometime next week, Federal Transit Administration, DRPT, and the Dulles Transit Partners will, in effect, we will have sign-off on the draft EIS to move forward with the Dulles Corridor project.
That's great. Okay. Any other questions, John?
No, I don't have anything else other than the presentation will be on the website if there's any questions or if anyone needs
Thank you.
Thank
Great.
You.
Great. Very good.
Appreciate it.
Now, needless to say, Leo, this all complies with the law. Tomorrow's vote, both the Appropriations Act.
Oh, absolutely.
As well as next item on the agenda is a walkthrough on the VDOT budget for the coming year. Barbara Reese.
All of you should have a copy of both the presentation as well as the actual document, which is the final, hopefully final, if you adopt it tomorrow, VDOT budget for the year, for fiscal year 03. And Just to begin, on the first page of the presentation, the budget overview, the budget does total about $3.4 billion. Its major components are to VDOT programs, it's about $2.9 billion, $181 million allocated to mass transit, ports, and airports, in accordance with the formulas that we talked about this morning. Support to the general fund, again, we talked about $317 million of that, $332 million this morning. The other $15 million is basically here very temporarily. During the General Assembly session, right now there is a program called Two for Life that's added to your motor vehicle license fee, a registration fee, and that's going up to four, and so that $15 million, for whatever reason, was parked in the Highway Maintenance and Operating Fund temporarily, but that will be changed. But right now, we have to transfer the $15 million. And then support to other state agencies, which we talked a little bit about this morning, is $40 million in the budget. In terms of major changes between what you saw in May as the tentative budget and today's budget, there's very few changes. There are two key changes for fiscal year 03. One is there is a reduction in the planned Fran sale in FY 03 from $204 million to $179 million. That has to do with programming and trying to work with this goal of minimizing the use of Frans. And just as cash flows are reviewed and carried out, there was an ability to lower that number slightly. There is also one of the things we were asked to do because of the general fund issues. We were asked if there was any way that required payments in 03 could be made in 02 to help with the cash flow. And because cash right now is holding its own, we will make a transfer that was required of us in FY 03 of $10 million in FY 02, which then in turn freed up cash and resources for allocation in FY 03, and that money has been put into highway systems construction. The last major change, the state right now is undertaking an initiative called eVirginia, which is Virginia's Total Electronic Procurement Solution. It is a government-to-business procurement website, and the Appropriation Act does require non-general fund agencies to contribute to the development and implementation of that new procurement system. And our share of that cost is for FY03 is $750,000. And that change has been incorporated in the budget. On page 5, just very briefly, this is a graphic that lays out for you revenue sources available. The chart is in page 7 of the budget document. Just starting at the top, or let's really start at the bottom, HMO State is about 34%. That's $1.1 billion. If you want to write in for yourself, $1.1 billion. Federal sources at almost 20% is $673 million. The Transportation Trust Fund special session revenues at 20% is about $685 million. Other, which includes toll road money, local money, those kind of things, is $172.1 million. And then the Virginia Transportation Act Priority Transportation Fund is about $318 million. In terms of debt proceeds that are embedded in the FY03 budget, we briefly mentioned that. There is the $317 million in Frans that are being used to replace the sales tax that has been diverted to the general fund in the Appropriation Act. There's $179 million for additional Frans for the eligible VTA projects that we plan to sell this fall, and then $46 million in a bond sale for the Northern Virginia Transportation District project funding. In terms of where the money is proposed for spending and the allocation of the revenues, if you look, interestingly this year, maintenance and construction are even at 33% each. It used to be that you used to see construction as a much larger part of the pot. Maintenance is quickly catching up. Administration is about 3.3%. Just as background, a standard that is typically used in financial statements and across all the states is about, if you have less than 4% administrative costs, that's considered a reasonable amount of administrative costs. Other modes, 5.3. The general fund transfer, as you can see, is almost 10% of the budget. So if you take that 9.3% out, you're basically looking at a total budget of about $3.1 billion. Just to repeat what was shown to you earlier, VDOT programs, of the $3.4 billion, VDOT programs is about $2.9 billion. Mass Transit, Ports and Airports, $181 million. Support to the General Fund, $332 million. And support to other state agencies, $40 million. Within the $2.9 billion coming to VDOT, highway system maintenance, again, the first priority for funding is $878 million. Financial assistance to localities for ground transportation, that's the payments to cities and towns over 3,500, as well as Arlington and Henrico counties, is about $250 million. Administrative and support services, 114. Operations and other, and that's things like outdoor advertising, toll roads, those kind of things, 127 million. And then on page 10 is the highway construction program at almost $1.5 billion. Within the highway construction program, and we talked about this again this morning about how you sort of have three different pots. Within that, you've got the Priority Transportation Fund, the $347 million there. You have bond programs of $123, that's Route 58, Northern Virginia, Oak Grove Connector, Route 28, all those kind of things. Access roads and other construction, I'm going to break down for you in a minute. Construction management is $73 million, and then you see the interstate primary, secondary, and urban totals. Go ahead.
Fran debt service, is it in the 1.494 million?
I'm sorry?
The debt service on Fran is in the 1.499.
Yes, and it's embedded basically in either
what
the priority.
Is that roughly? You know?
It's all in the priority transportation fund component piece of that. That's where it's being allocated from. Access roads and other construction, that $342 million, this is always a questionable area, so we wanted to break that down for you to show you what some of the items are that are budgeted in access roads and other construction. You see the federal demo, the earmarks of priority project at $70 million. There's special federal funding for the Woodrow Wilson Bridge that is budgeted there. Right now, because we do not have the breakdown from the MPOs of how they're allocating STP, regional, and CMAQ, both of those amounts of funding are residing in access roads and other construction. Traditionally, in the past, you've seen those amounts in each district or system, and we don't have that this year. Safety and enhancements, again, because you didn't at the time, it's just as a lump sum versus where it's actually allocated, since you'll take those actions tomorrow. Access roads, which includes rail access, industrial access, airport access, et cetera, is $11 million, and then other earmarks or special things are about $45 million. The revenue sharing program with localities is $30 million. So in total, $3.4 billion. When you account for the $317 million in state revenues being transferred to the general fund and replaced with FRANS, that's $317, that takes it down to about $3.1 billion. You have $542 million in bond proceeds in that $3.1 billion. You have $1.1 billion that's being allocated to maintenance between VDOT maintenance and locality maintenance, and then $1.5 billion for construction. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Okay, we'll vote on that tomorrow. All right, thank you, Barbara. Next item on our agenda is discussion of the final 6-year plan. I think we all have asked Philip Chiquette, our commissioner, to walk us through that. Bob Castor, I think we do have a slide presentation that reflects the material that is in front of us. Let me say, just as a matter of thunder, the first couple of slides, as you know, we adopted the tentative plan last month. We had two public hearings earlier this month, at which time we heard from not a lot of people. And since those two public hearings, we have been working with some of the comments that were made at the public hearings, some correspondence, and then from members of the board. Just as a reminder, the goals that we have set for ourselves are listed. First, of course, using realistic revenue projections and getting a better handle on cost estimating, and that's reflected in the plan. Paying off projects in the year that those projects are actually completed. There are some instances within the six-year plan before us of where we're trying to take projects to an acceptable level of completion. For example, getting through the environmental process through a record of decision, up to the point of preliminary engineering. There are examples of that throughout the six-year plan, recognizing that we really don't have any funds in the 6 years to go beyond that. Another policy goal is to look after our investments in terms of maintenance and our facility needs, to continue to support rail and public transportation. As you know, that's reflected in how we allocated the FRAN debt, and to work toward minimizing our long-term reliance on France. A student of this process in examining the six-year plan, and certainly I think comparing it with what I think was an overly ambitious plan of last year, will see most of these goals reflected, and we've done a better job in meeting some of those goals than we have in meeting some other of those goals, but nevertheless, that has been our mission, and I think to a large extent, with your help, we have done that. So, with that said, as a matter of introduction, let me now turn things over to our commissioner for the rest of this presentation.
Thank you very much. The presentation we'll review primarily focuses on the difference between the December program and the final program. We will review some information that relates to changes from the tentative program to the final program, but for me, the issue still remains the work that's been done to go from what was not a plan that we could execute to one that we know we can. The final program totals about $7.3 billion, which incidentally is about equal to the program that you approved for the year 99 and 2000. We did find a total of about $102 million in additional revenue from the tentative program. $72 million of that came from a reexamination of the assumptions that were included in our administrative budget. And to be frank, both the Senate and House staffs found that in our administrative budget for beginning the third year of the 6 year, we were making an assumption that the spending reductions that the governor had asked us to put in place would all come back to us, and then we inflated our program from there. That's not a reasonable assumption, and that change generated another $72 million. An additional $30 million are included in the program from Northern Virginia Transportation District funds, and these are cash balances that are not needed for any debt service payments to projects. That brings us to a total of 1,157 projects in the program, split up 873 construction, 284 in development, That compares back to the tentative program that was 1134. I think you'll recall the tentative program was $2.9 billion less, now $2.8 billion less than the December plan. It's a reduction of about 28%, and 166 projects have been completely removed from the program. What do we do with the $72 million in additional resources? $25.5 million of that has been allocated to projects that are completed or underway. And a point I mentioned to some of you earlier that has been painful for me is the fact that in the six-year program, $301 million has been used to finance deficits on completed projects. And the work is not finished. Beyond the six-year program, we still have $211 million beyond 08 that is required to fund project deficits. Now, why couldn't we pay them all off? Well, because some of the system allocations are so small that it was just not possible to pay all of the deficits off unless we just stopped projects that were underway.
Lynchburg. Question on that.
Yeah.
Back in the last slide. If we, for some reason, find, you know, we've added percentages to some of these construction costs,
mm-hmm.
and we find that during this process that either through our tracking ability or cost of projects, that, God forbid, we have savings, that some of those costs would then be allocated probably first to this $211 million, which are deficits beyond 2008?
Yeah,
is that probably the first priority, or how do you see that happening, or what do you see as an approach on that?
I would think that would be our first priority, but we have to do that within the... Well, we can't take savings from one pot of allocation and fund deficits in another.
No, I understand.
So, go ahead, Bob. All right, as far as differences at the project level, and I'll go through these pretty quickly. Whoops, did we lose a page? Did I say go ahead? I'm sorry. If you look at page 11, in the Bristol District, the Coalfields Expressway has been revised to show complete plans for phase A and A1, which is about an 8.5 mile section. Our previous strategy was to spend around $80 million to do partial plans for the entire length of the Coalfields Expressway. Spend $80 million, we wouldn't be able to do anything with what we got. That's not a strategy I wanted to pursue. So we've changed that to focus on a section of coal fields that we can complete the plans for with a chance of getting to construction sooner, and also included funding for the 460 connector to make that a usable section. That is not in any way backing off of our commitment to coal fields, but simply a wiser strategy to get to some construction sooner as opposed to doing partial plans for a longer segment. In Lee County, Route 58, we shifted some funding from Pennington Gap to accelerate a project at Dryden. Also in Bristol District, on Route 58 and 641, we were able to add about $275,000 for a safety improvement. We were also able to add about $550 for a safety improvement on Route 460, 1402 in Tazewell. In Culpeper, we were able to add some funding for right-of-way acquisition for North Route 15, Business Route 15. We were also able to add some right-of-way and construction funding for Route 229. And for Route 3, Route 3 was removed from the construction program, but we left it in the development program to finish engineering and for some right-of-way acquisition. In Fredericksburg, Route 212, 17, and 1, that intersection in Stafford County, we were able to return it to the program to complete the public hearing process. And when we say at no additional cost, it's because the money was already sitting there for that project from previous allocations. We just failed to show it in the plan. And if we're going to spend money, it needs to be in the program. Really the same with the outer connector. You'll see it in the program to complete the environmental document. We're at the stage of completing the final EIS and bringing it to a record of decision. We have included completion of that. However, there is still no funding for a right-of-way or construction. In the Hampton Roads District, I think what that simply means is we made a mistake in the tentative program and failed to bring forward $11.5 million for resurfacing on Route I-264, and as you know, that was previously Route 44, the toll road, and those were excess funds remaining from the toll operations. We did add $300,000 to match to the City of Chesapeake's federal earmark for some preliminary engineering work on Dominion Boulevard. In Lynchburg, we were able to accelerate right-of-way acquisition on Route 41, 265 Franklin Turnpike in Pennsylvania. We were also able to add some money to complete the preliminary engineering and the environmental document and public hearing process on Route 15 in Prince Edward County. In Northern Virginia, we were able to complete preliminary engineering on Route 715, Leesburg Bypass in Loudoun. We also used, out of that $30 million, that $30 million balance in the Northern Virginia Transportation District funds needs to be used in Northern Virginia District. Here you see $4 million of it to accelerate some safety improvements on Route 15. We were also able to fund construction of Route 50, Courthouse Road in Arlington. Part of that funding is likewise coming from that fund balance. We did use some FRANS to construct a sound wall in Fairfax County along Route 495, and that was actually part of the budget bill. Pardon me?
Bless you, my son.
thank you, sir. I'll take all of that. Somebody write that down. In Fairfax County on Route 7, we used about $1.4 million from the fund balances for some improvements. We were able, likewise, to use some of those balances as well as some released RSTP funds for the Fairfax County Parkway, and you'll see some three projects broken down below that. Route 123 and Route 1 interchange in Prince William County, we were able to fully fund right-of-way and construction. We used $6 million from the fund balance there. Route 6629 in Prince William, we moved some funding from the interchange portion of that project to construct the east-west connector of that project.
Mr. Commissioner.
Yes, sir.
I would like to say that what has been done on that project is very constructive towards beginning to solve a very bad problem without having to spend $100 million completing the interchange. And I congratulate the VDOT staff on some really great thinking.
Just to echo that comment, it's not just this project, but there are other projects where we always try to go after all the design work and all the right-of-way acquisition. And now we're using the money we have to do some engineering and do some construction. And, when we get the money to do more, we'll buy right away and do some construction then. But I think this is a positive approach to try to get. It's this project and it's some other things we heard about, too. So I think it's really commendable for staff and commissioners.
Mr. Commissioner.
Yes, sir.
On that note, I guess just a good time, isn't it? Going back to Fredericksburg, on that outer connect, we really appreciate completing that study part because there had been money we don't know yet if that's the right answer, but there are a lot of hoops got to jump through. Federal Highway Department environmental impact may say the auto connector is the wrong thing, but it spent over $5 million to get that study done. And to complete that, it was very beneficial to staff in Spotsylvania County. Those are two of the faster growing counties, not only in the state, but they're ranking pretty high across the nation. And it's very important to them. And I want to thank you all for doing whatever you could to get that back on. And we just have to see it. We know it's a good ways out. If it's the right answer, it'll be determined. If it's not the right answer, but we need to finish that study. And again, that will have impact like some of these other things. I want to thank whoever did the work for getting that back on. We were sweating.
We all appreciate it. We all appreciate it. In Richmond District, on Route 460 and 630 in Prince George County, we were able to make some changes there to reflect the county's priority on that safety improvement. We were also able to add a project to fund the operating costs for the multimodal transportation center in the city of Richmond. In Salem, we did return three I-81 engineering projects on I-81 so that we could carry those through the public hearing process. We were able to accelerate construction on the Hillsville bypass, Route 58, and we were able to add about $300,000 for some engineering for a safety improvement on Route 100. And in the Stanton District, we were able to transfer $1 million from the Covington truck route to initiate preliminary engineering on the Bridgewater bypass. A few notes on the enhancement program in Lynchburg. We added $100,000 from some unallocated funds for the Prizery project in Northern Virginia District. We transferred 234 from Waterford Bury, the wires to Waterford Scenic Byways. In Loudoun, we transferred 20,000 from Mount Zion to the Oatlands. In Richmond, we were able to add 130,000 from undesignated enhancement funds in a tentative program for the Science Museum. And we were also able to add a total of 100,000 for the Birding Trail. Again, just to summarize, it's a $7.3 billion program. It grew by about $100 million from the tentative program. 1,157 projects, 873 in construction, 284 in a development phase. And just to be redundant, again, about the bottom line, is we want to be darn sure we're presenting you correct information to make the correct decisions and do so in a fashion that when we walk out of here, we're going to do what we said we were going to do. I appreciate your attention, and I appreciate you tolerating me during lunch as I showed you that little special project I'm pretty excited about.
We'll buy you lunch anytime you want to show us something like that.
Something that's very beneficial.
That's right.
I'd like to say that, Philip, thank you. That's a great job. We were glad we were able to, that 30-day period really allowed us, once we got the tentative plan out there on the table, and everybody was able to look at it and take shots at it, this 30-day window really gave us the opportunity to go back in and fine-tune it and find the projects that where it made sense to bring them to finality in where they were along the process, like the outer connector, or the public hearings in the Salem District. The additional funds that Philip reviewed early on, like the $11 million that was just an oversight in the tentative plan, the $30 million balance in the Northern Virginia Fund, and then correcting the assumption in our administrative budget really only brought us back in about 3.5% of additional funds that this proposed final plan has that wasn't in the tentative plan. But I think given the rationale for these additions and also applying as much as we can on the deficit financing, finishing up projects, applying funds on projects that have already been completed, this is a very austere program. it's a program that reflects the economic times that we find ourselves in. And I just want to thank Philip, who's still very new on the job, and the great VDOT staff for, I think, really a Herculean task in a remarkably short amount of time. So I hope if there are any questions, let's get them out, because we got to vote on this thing tomorrow.
I have. Bob, could you define for me what undesignated enhancement fund is? What does that mean? That's what I thought. We'll go that way.
Mr. Bird contributes at the office.
You had almost $200,000 left. He had $180,000 he fully allocated all.
And you call it what? Undesignated.
I think Brian wants you to put it on birds.
Could be a birdie.
But on page 24, you described it as unallocated.
Same thing.
Okay, thank you.
This is a word.
I've always known if you never ask the right question around here, you wouldn't get the right answer.
Mr. Secretary, thank you very much. And if I may add one word, in addition to the staff to my left here and others in the central office who did a yeoman's effort, I want to assure you and the board that all 10,000 women and men of VDOT are as interested in this program being right as you are. They want to do the right thing. I can assure you of that. And I'll also bet any of you at lunch or dinner that if you ask any member of my staff any question that involves a number, they'll immediately pull out a calculator and run through a very rigorous set of calculations before they give you an answer. We are not going to give you any more answers that are not correct when it comes to arithmetic. I can assure you that. Thank you very much.
Putting those names in that thing we saw at lunch will help out a lot, too.
That helps a lot, though. Thank you very much.
With the phone number. Thanks, Philip.
Last item on the agenda for our workshop is Frank G. to review the status of contracts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, members of the board. I think each of you have at your place the update. So with your indulgence, it's a blue copy. I'll go through the items. Items 1 through 6. Financial update, and Stacy McCracken is here to answer any questions you may have with that, but I would call your attention to tab 7, which are the ones I would like to focus on. Behind tab 7 is the monthly status report of all contracts that are underway in the department, and you will note that we have over on the right-hand side a total of 514 contracts at a value of $2.4 billion that's underway presently.
Would these include PPTA projects?
No, they do not include PPTA projects. These are our regular contracts. Tab 8 is your monthly one-page tabulation of the contracts that you're going to be taking up tomorrow for award. You would note that we changed the format a little bit in that we're giving you also the contracts that we took in bids for that the commissioner awards at the bottom of the page. They're the contracts of a maintenance that are maintenance funded in nature and under $250,000, and we're providing that to you for your information. I will particularly call attention to the ones that are being rejected, and you'll find out tomorrow that the reason that three of those contracts, and that's the three that all bids were rejected on, A33, A40, and A41, are contracts that were funded by coal severance funds from Buchanan County. Buchanan County advised us that they did not have the funds available to proceed with those contracts and therefore asked us to reject all bids. When funds do become available, they're going to ask us to re-advertise them. But they recognized and appreciated our efforts, but they did not have the funding to do those at this time.
Question for you. On some of these especially on the maintenance side where you got slurry seals and all that. Are you seeing any increases on some of those prices because of oil price changes?
Not as of yet, Mr. Mitchell. The prices are staying kind of stable, although the price of asphalt has jumped about 20%. We have not seen the unit prices go up at this time.
Why is asphalt going up so much?
But bear in mind, those contracts were taken in back in the wintertime when you had a different price, and the price increases have occurred lately. So as far as slurry seal are concerned, we haven't had any of those lately, so that's okay. Why we have not seen that.
Okay.
I would point out that there is going to be one addition to my presentation tomorrow. The maintenance division, Sydney Ward, is going to be presenting, while I'm presenting other contracts, at the end of that, a contract for the design build of the rest area at New Kent. It's a $6.9 million contract, and I think you have a separate sheet that has been provided to you, so we'll be asking for your approval of that contract tomorrow, in addition to what you received previously from me for your regular ballot. Behind tab 9 are the two work orders that I approved in the last month that are, I would call, a significant nature. The first work order was actually for $1.1 million, and it was for I-64 interchange that's under construction at Mercury Boulevard and I-664. E.V. Williams is a contractor. Our plans had initially indicated that we had 6 inches of cement stabilized aggregate underneath the concrete pavement in that area. As we got into construction, we found out that we either had none or very little cement stabilized aggregate under that pavement. We did not, in all honesty, probably do the proper geotechnical investigation in that process. So we've had to go back and actually add that to the contract. We negotiated that with the contractor to add that 6-inch layer all the way through, and the additional cost and time associated with that is the cost of that work order. You'll still note that even with that work order and the 18 prior work orders, we're still on that contract under our 10% contingency, so that still is being within our budget that we plan for it at this stage. So the second major work order that I approved is on a project on the Appomattox River Bridge in the Richmond District. R.R. Dawson is a contractor. We found in working with the city of Petersburg that there was a sewer line that it was affecting the work there. This work order was an amount of $550,000. Approximately 3/4 of that is for that sewer line adjustment that we found to be in conflict, and in working with the city, felt like we needed to adjust it, and we worked out with the city. The city is paying a portion of that cost because it benefits them and what they're doing in that. You'll note also that that particular project, if you add that work order, we're going to be slightly above our 10% contingency, but we're still trying to control the cost on that. Mr. Mitchell.
This is work order number 52?
Yes, it is.
That seems like a lot of work orders.
It is a significant number of work orders. This is an urban project where there have been quite a few changes associated with various items. And some of those work orders may be just $100 or $200 in nature to deal with the minor items. So every change that we make in the contract, we do by a work order if we have to change it to the terms and conditions. So some of them are small. This happens to be the largest one of the ones that we have had.
The one before that was 18. I don't know. Is that another urban project?
Yes, that's an urban project on 64 at Mercury Boulevard, which is an urban interchange that we're constructing.
Is that on schedule?
I don't have the answer to that question off the top of my head. I can find that out for you, though, Mr. Cumbrous.
The reason I ask is because of this item about covering the mowing of the seeded slope. If, for instance, the project was behind schedule, and they would have already turned it over to us, then we shouldn't be paying extra to be mowing a slope. So just...
I expect that the project is behind what we planned on having the schedule, but with additional work that's been added and probably other things, it may still be on schedule, but I'm not sure. I have to find out whether or not it's behind or not. Ms. Welch.
Mr. Secretary, may I ask a question? Is it okay?
Yes.
Who is making the mistakes that we have these work orders? Is that the consultants or that we hire, or is that the VDOT staff? Or
on these two particular work orders, I do not feel like it was a mistake that was made. On the 64, we just missed that. We assumed by the previous design and what was there that that there was a certain type of aggregate underneath the concrete pavement. I guess as you look at in the preliminary engineering stage, we could have gone in there and done corings and found that out. We accepted that it was probably built according to what we had anticipated it was and used the previous plans. That was turned out to be a wrong assumption. So I won't call that a mistake. We just did not go in and check. We would have had that cost if we'd gone in and checked it, then we would have included that within the plans, and we would still have this cost associated with it. So from that standpoint, I don't see that as a mistake.
So in other words, the contractor doesn't charge you more for a change order. I mean,
well,
I always heard that they charge more for when there's a change order.
As a rule of thumb, you get cheaper prices from a competitive bid process than you do from a negotiated process. These are negotiated, so yes, we potentially probably paid more than we would have paid if it were done through a competitive bidding process.
Mr. Secretary,
if I may,
we're pretty good in terms of negotiating these. The issue is that many of them we should never have. And the question you ask, while on the first project, as Frank openly answered, our mistake. A substantial number, the majority of our work orders are caused by design issues. And that is bright on the radar screen of something that we're going to be discussing. And we are going to be aggressive. You know, I expect our staff to flawlessly execute this six-year program. I expect contractors, including consultants, to very flawlessly execute contracts they have with us. And we'll turn that picture around.
Thank you.
In regard to the sanitary sewer, Ms. Welch, on that particular case, both the city and us did not envision that needed to be adjusted until we got into construction and found out that indeed it did conflict, so we had to go back and adjust it. But it was an assumption that both the city and us made that that would not need to be adjusted, and happened to be a wrong assumption after we got into construction.
Thank you.
Tab 10 are the four consultant supplemental agreements that were authorized in the past month. The first supplement was with HDR Engineering in Buchanan County, and actually it involved us doing additional investigation and additional geotechnical work. Remember the importance of the geotechnical work on 64 contract that I just mentioned, as well as some additional investigation to improve the 100-year flood elevations. That was additional work that was not envisioned in the original scope that we negotiated with that consultant contractor. The next one is supplement number one on 236. That's in the city of Fairfax. The city and us were asked to do additional models and study additional alignment alternatives that were not envisioned, and that was the dollars necessary to do those additional studies that the city and us agreed we needed to do. Supplement. The next one is the third supplement on Route 72 in Scott County, and we were redesigning that particular project in order to avoid some power poles and to actually look at where we would have additional disposal of surplus material. And you can see the amount of that particular supplement.
What was the original contract amount for the design of that? the supplemental agreement was $137,000, but what was the original agreement? I guess I'm trying to figure out a percentage, how these supplemental agreements or how much is the percentage of the total. But I'm even looking at the scope of this one, I would have thought that the engineer would have known the power poles were already always there, and now we're going to pay him again to design stuff to go around the power poles, add floodplain limits or floodway limits, which generally should be on plans, and material waste sites. We know we had to move materials. We ought to figure out a place to put the material, and we got to pay him extra for doing all this. That's what bothers me a little bit on that.
At the time we entered into that, the scope of that contract did not include providing service roads. Service roads were added in order to get access to the properties because of some right-of-way situations. So this was not included within the original scope, and that's why it was needed. As far as the original value, I can add that to it, and I can have that to you by tomorrow as to what the original value is.
Maybe on the future ones, if we do this, you know, just have what the original one was, what the supplemental was.
We can do that.
Just give you a little idea, like the construction ones were done.
We can do that. The last supplemental agreement was with Paulson's Brinkerhoff, and that was due to us holding contracts up in January and December. The Richmond District has a district-wide inspection contract that was to expire in June. Because of us not knowing exactly where we were from a financial situation, we held up going out with the RFP for that renewal, and in essence got in a bind in which we need to extend this contract until we have a new one in place. The advertisement is going out, and we're in the process of shortlisting and interviewing the firms, and this is an extension to get this contract to when we can have a new one in place to do the inspection. And this is inspection services being performed on such projects as the James River Bridge out here just outside the office, 288, the Atlee-Elmont Interchange, and those where we have inspectors on that to basically cover that inspection for another 3-year period of time. The last section, Section 11, is our monthly update of all the projects in each of the districts as to the projects that we expect to exceed what our budget is for those projects, as well as a number of contracts at a total that are underway in each of those areas. So that's your monthly update for each district in that area. I'll be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions to Frank? Ed?
Excuse me, Frank. We'll go back to the Hampton Roads District project here where the change order 19. When they did the engineering work, didn't they do any core borings to determine if that aggregate was?
No, I do not. Sorry. We did not do any coring of the existing pavement. We assumed that what had been previously constructed and was designed had 6 inches of stabilized aggregate underneath of it, and when we got in, we found out that it actually did not. Of course, that was built some years ago, the original pavement.
Did they have a plan indicating that in the previous contract?
Yes, we did have a plan that was in that period.
I just was wondering.
Any other questions? Frank? Obie?
Well, you know, maybe what I think is going on, some of these things between the model or the tool that we saw at lunch today, and I think in conjunction with some of the bidding concepts and the estimatings, I think those two things will go a long way to maybe alleviate some of the things we just see right here. Because we can beat these to death. And I think the first thing is probably look at the processes and look at some of the things where we got things that consistently come up that may be errors in omissions or omissions from plans that seem to be consistent across the board. In the future, you'll know that you got to deal with that. Some of this, I suspect, on this big overrun, project award was $40 million. Now you're up to almost $66 million. Some of that, I suspect, may be to the undercut. And they had milling and other things that changed. And maybe you had a little more geotech work done ahead of time of that. You may have been able to negotiate that right into the deal. And done a better job, but maybe that's what that process will help get to the root of some of these changes.
Just to reemphasize what the commissioner outlined to you, what he outlined at lunch, I think with what we're putting in place in the entire department, you're going to see that this report where you have this number continually to decrease to get to where we do not have projects that are over budget or over scheduled. But remember, we have some already in the system that no matter what we do right now, I cannot turn them around, and they cannot be turned around in fashion. So I think as you see as we go through the next several months, 6 months, a year, that you're going to see your report getting less and less, and hopefully you'll have less and less concerns.
As a follow-up to that, the things that we're seeing in for construction costs and other consulting costs that we're seeing showing up in here in these new costs are reflected in this plan. Am I correct in assuming that? You know, where we have this different, in other words, we're accommodating things that we know about that are coming up. We're accommodating that in the plans.
Yes.
Revised estimates.
Yes, the revised estimates on those projects do all reflect it in the current plan. Okay. That's correct.
Libby?
On this thing with Afton Mountain, is this going to ever end?
I hope so.
I hope so, too, because it has been going on for years and years. I'm not sure it's getting any better, and I don't know what the contractor, but I...
We have one item left on the contract, and that is the variable message signs, and particularly the interface between the master controller and the controller that's on the sign. I'll be happy to sit down and explain to you what the issue is, and because it's a fairly technical issue dealing with components and everything. So, and it takes a little while to go through it, so I'll be happy to explain to you where we are. Yes, that will come to an end.
I mean, it's just cost us a fortune.
You know, Liv, I got an idea. Put that message on that variable sign.
Is this going to ever end?
Is this ever going to end?
I mean, it's just costing buck after buck, and we don't get anything done. I mean, it just... And this contractor has been knocked.
Well, actually, the contractor is losing money because he's on liquidated damages, and it's costing him more than it's costing us right now.
Well, he probably made enough on it 4 years ago that he could make up for this.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Frank, thank you very much.
I mean,
anything else to come before us today? Okay, well then we will be adjourned, and hope we'll see everybody this evening. Thank you.